Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
9:09 on this Thursday morning, and you're about to enter the fastest hour on radio with John Alzheimer, our guest, who is a credit expert who can answer any questions that you have about credit ratings. I shouldn't say that. Credit scores, credit ratings would apply if you're selling bonds. Am I right about that, John Alzheimer?
You are correct. Thank you for having me, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time. How you been? Credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. You know where the skeletons are buried? Where the landmines lie?
Where all the bodies are buried, yes, sir.
So let's start with some basics for people that have not, for people that have not listened before, let me invite them in. 504-260-1870, Oakwood Jeweler Talk and Text Line. No texting and driving ever, please. But a lot of times people listen and then they got questions and then they start texting in their questions and we run out of time before we get to them. Let's talk about what a credit score is and how important it is when it comes to determining how much you pay for credit.
Yeah, I mean, I can't overstate how important a credit score is. So a credit score is a three-digit numeric summary of the information on your credit report. So hopefully your listeners pull their credit reports from time to time, and if they're, you know, older like me, then they're dozens of pages long with a bunch of information about your prior relationships with lenders and such. And you know, rather than fingering through all of that stuff as a lender, which can take forever, about 30 some odd years ago, a company called Fair Isaac, my former employer, invented credit scoring, which is essentially an algorithm that reads all that information off of a credit report and then will essentially create this three-digit number that predicts the likelihood of whether or not you're going to pay your bills on time in the future. And they use all that information on the credit report as the basis for that score. And that score is used, now get this, that score is used billions of times every year. And I said billions with the B. Mm-hmm. And so it is used by lenders, it is used by utility companies, it is used by tenant screening companies, mortgage lenders, you name it. So if you can't escape the influence of a credit score, and you really want to have the highest score possible, because that score is used to determine, among other things, the interest, the APRs on money that you borrow. And so, you know, instead of paying 12% on a car loan, having a really good credit score can get you something around 4%. Or back when, you know, you could get 0% offers on certain types of makes and models, those types of offers are for people who had really, really high credit scores. So you always want to have a high credit score. Think of a credit score, Tommy, as like the grade you get on a test. And you want to have the highest grade possible, and based on the answers that you give in the test, that's what your score is going to be. And so that's a really good comparison of a credit score relative to a credit report, the grade relative to the answers you gave on a test.
Well, that leads nicely into my next question, which is, you talk about we should all pull our credit report. Why should we? Because is that analogous to looking at the test that we took?
Yeah, and look, you should pull your credit report for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's a bunch of information about you, how you manage your relationships with your lenders. And wow, I want to see it. I want to see what the credit bureaus are saying about me. And that's the only way that I'm going to know is by pulling my credit reports from time to time. Doing so is free, so I'm not suggesting that any of your listeners go out and buy credit reports. You can do this for free once a week, if you wanted. So you could pull 52 copies of your credit reports from each credit bureau every single year. That's like over 150 credit reports a year. I don't know anybody who cares about their credit reports that much, but you certainly should do it from time to time. Number one, because it's your information. Number two, it's really important information, as we just discussed. Number three, mistakes happen. And you're not going to know if something is incorrect unless you look at the credit report. You're not going to know to raise your hand and say, hey, there's an error here. Please correct it, unless you look at your own credit report and go through the information from time to time, make sure the information is accurate. And that's something that we're allowed to do as U.S. consumers, 52 some odd times a year per credit bureau.
And I hate to say this, but I've never done it. So what would I be looking at on a credit report, and how would I know what's wrong, and how would I know if it's worth it to take action if I have checked my credit score and it's almost impeccable?
Yeah, so all the way from Atlanta, I can hear your listeners in NOLA saying, wait a minute, how do I do this? Where do I go to get my credit reports? Where you go to get your credit reports is annualcreditreport.com. That is the single government-mandated website that the credit bureaus had to create 20-some-odd years ago, and that is the single source for free credit reports pursuant to federal law. So that's where you're going to want to go, annualcreditreport.com. Pull all three of your credit reports, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian. You can just download them. You don't need to print them. And then sit there. Grab a cup of coffee or a beer and sit there for the next 5 or 10 minutes and kind of page through all the data. You're going to see all of your loans, all of your credit card accounts, student loans, auto loans, mortgages. If you have collections, unfortunately, that's going to be on there, too. If you file bankruptcy, unfortunately, that's going to be on there, too. Go through and make sure that all the information is accurate. Make sure the dates are correct. Make sure the balances are correct. Make sure that the payment history, whether you made a payment or didn't, make sure all that stuff is correct. Make sure your personal information is accurate, name, address, social, date of birth, things like that. Just go through periodically with a fine-tooth comb. Make sure all that info is correct. And if it's correct, lather, rinse, repeat. Do it every few months, and you'll be in good shape. If you notice something that's incorrect, there's information also about how to file a dispute, which you can also do online, which is also free and actually very easy to do.
So what's the perfect credit score?
Yeah, so the range of credit score, most credit scores, there are some outliers, but most credit scores are, the range is 300 to 850. 850 would be a perfect score. You don't need a perfect score. Anything generally above 760 to 780, and you're really putting yourself in what I call the kind of the safe zone, and you're going to get the best deal that pretty much any lender has to offer, mortgages, auto loans, credit cards. You're going to be in good shape.
So I'm pretty close to perfect, having looked at mine on a credit card statement when I paid it a couple of weeks ago. So with that being said, do I really need to pull my credit report? And I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for people that would be in the position that I'm in.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point. So credit score is a pretty good proxy for the quality of the information on a credit report. It doesn't mean that the information is universally accurate. But if you want to see the underlying data, you always have that option.
So I guess let me phrase it this way, John. If I got a credit score of, say, 842, okay, and I don't know if that's it or not. I don't remember what it was, but it was close to that. Would there be any need to pull a credit report? Because what would I do if I challenge anything? I got a world of hurt waiting for me to get up to 850, which is not going to make a difference anyway, or not?
Yeah, 842.
I'm a lazy guy, John. I'm a lazy guy.
You're an effect. Yeah, you're at 842. That is an elite credit score, using any reasonable definition of the word. I would still, just for sanity, I would still pull the credit report from time to time. Clearly, there is nothing on there that says anything bad about you. So there's no late payments. There's no collections. There's no defaults. There's no judgments. There's no bankrupt. None of that bad stuff is on your credit report if you're sporting an 842. But still, from time to time, it's probably not a bad idea. Look, if my car is running really, really well, I still take it to the mechanic every once in a while just to make sure things are going well. So I wouldn't just ignore the underlying information just simply because my score is good. But an 842 or anything like above 780, you can feel very, very confident that your credit report is saying a whole lot of good things about you.
So speaking of cars, somebody texted in and said, what does my credit score have to do with the way I drive my automobile in reference to insurance rates?
Yeah, so that's another one. So insurance companies, it really doesn't have anything to do with how good of a driver you are. It really has to do with the likelihood of you filing a claim. So in obviously insurance companies, you know, the revenue model is you pay your premium, and if you don't file a claim, then you're a profitable customer. If you file a lot of claims that exceed the amount you pay in premium, then you're not a profitable customer, which means they're either going to dump you or they're going to increase your premiums. So the credit score has long been, and it's a different kind of credit score, by the way. It's not the same kind of score that your bank uses or an apartment complex uses. They use what's called an insurance risk score, which also is based on a credit report. So what you end up seeing is you see this three-digit number, and an insurance company may see it. And if it's really, really high, your premiums are going to be more competitive, and they may renew your policy. So no one ever talks about the good stuff that can happen if you've got a really good credit score. Or they only think about the bad things that can happen if you've got a very poor credit score, which could be things like your premiums may go up or they may not renew a policy because you're too risky. It's the same thing if you get in a lot of wrecks. Your insurance premiums are going to go up and your insurance company may dump you.
What is the rationale there? Is it that if you are in financial trouble, you're going to file claims? Or I'm just wondering how they make that connection.
Yeah, so you're thinking like a human, and you really need to think like a computer. So there is no verbal rationale. It's all empirical relationships. And so the insurance industry, despite what you may hear from people screaming about how unfair this is, the insurance industry has been able to prove empirically over and over and over again for decades that there is a relationship between how you manage your credit and whether or not you're going to file insurance claims. That is a statistical fact. Whether you like it or not is irrelevant. That is a fact. Number one, and number two is the Fair Credit Reporting Act makes it perfectly legal for an insurance company to pull a credit report as part of insurance underwriting. So number one, it's perfectly legal because the law says it's legal. Number two, the statistics back up the use of the data for assessing the risk of doing insurance business with a consumer. Now, people then try to rationalize, like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm worried about my credit card debt, therefore I may get in a wreck? Or does it mean that I may be more likely to file a claim because I'm in financial distress? And people can have all sorts of theories like that, but the real answer is there is a statistical relationship between the quality of your credit and whether or not you're going to file claims. And that's really where it ends, vis-a-vis why the insurance industry uses scores.
That's where those actuaries come in. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We get back. Questions are coming in. 504-260-1870. One of the ones that people always ask concerns credit cards and payments. And this one we'll start with when we come back. Somebody wants to know if you get a better credit score if you run up large balances every month on a credit card and pay it off, or if you run up small balances every month and pay it off.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Off. John Alzheimer knows he'll respond when we come back on WWL. Fastest Hour in Radio continues, 927. We're talking to John Alzheimer, as we do occasionally, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. He knows where the bodies are buried. He knows where the landmines are when it comes to credit, and he can help navigate your way through this whole, I don't know, is it a maze or is it a map, John, when it comes to credit scores?
It's a journey.
It's a journey. There you go. I like it. It's a journey. So somebody texted in about running up a big credit card balance and paying it off every month, or a small credit card balance and paying it off every month. Is there any difference as it relates to your credit score or the way people look at you as being credit worthy?
Yeah, so this is one of those really good questions with, unfortunately, it's going to have one of those it depends answers, which I hate, but it is what it is. In the older credit scoring systems, the scoring model only cared about what the balance was on the credit report, meaning that if you run up a really large balance on a credit card and then you wait to get your bill and then you pay it during the grace period, the balance on your statement is what's reported to the credit bureaus. And so the credit scoring model only sees and considers whatever that large balance is. So it doesn't know that you ran it up, paid it off, ran it up, paid it off. It doesn't know that, because that's not what it's programmed to see. Mm-hmm. The newer scoring systems do see whether or not you're running up a balance, paying it off, paying off some of it, paying off all of it, paying off most. So it just depends on the scoring model. I don't like this. Here's a better strategy, if I can make this suggestion to the listener. It sounds like that you have the financial capability of paying off your credit card debt every month, because that the question suggests that. Mm-hmm. So here's what I would suggest that you do. If you don't need that 21-day grace period, then toss it in the garbage, meaning that before you get your statement in the mail, there's what's called a statement close date on it. On your all credit card accounts have a statement closing date, which is the last day. And then they'll take that day and then go on to the prior 30 days, and all of your expenses and payments and credits and charges, that's what makes up your balance every month. I would suggest that if you have the capability of doing so, that you make your payment before the statement is actually cut, which means that the net of your charges and payments and credits is going to equal zero, because you've made your payment before the statement has even been generated, which means that on your credit report, your balance is going to be zero. And obviously, we all know, because we've talked about this for years, Tommy, that really low balances on credit cards is really good for your credit scores. So if you charge up large balances, or if you charge small balances but then pay them off in full every month, just be aware that you're not getting the full benefit of your capacity to do that, because you're allowing the balance to show up on the credit report. So just kind of change your focus a little bit from the due date to the statement closing date. And I promise you, unless you've already got pretty elite level credit scores, it's very, very likely that your score is going to go up simply by changing when you make that payment.
Is that what you've referred to previously as an ethical hack?
That is the ethical credit score hack. You're not doing anything unethical. You're just changing when you make your payment.
So along those lines, again, going back to the previous conversation, and you hinted at this a second ago, which is, but if your credit score is elite, does it really matter?
It doesn't matter. Eventually, you should get into a pattern where if you check your credit scores from time to time and they're really, really good, you've proven to the credit bureaus and the credit scoring systems that you are a good credit risk. And so you don't need to tinker with your behavior, because you're already doing all the right things. So, and you also made a very good point earlier that there is no difference between an 842 and an 850. The lender sees you the same way, which is that you're elite. So you don't need those eight other points. You're not gaining from, but if you try something silly, right? Like, oh, let me do this because I saw it on TikTok, mm-hmm. then you're likely going to end up with mm-hmm. a lower score versus mm-hmm. a higher score. So be happy mm-hmm. with a really good credit score, and just kind of do what you've been doing, focus on repeating whatever you're doing, and stop worrying about your credit score, because it's already really darn good.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do anything you see on TikTok, no matter what it relates to anything. I probably wouldn't do it, but I'd probably vet that through a couple of different sources. Somebody wants to know, pardon me, the difference between locking and freezing your credit. Is there a difference?
There is. So if you've ever heard the term security freeze, that is actually something that's federally regulated, meaning that Trump 1.0, one of the things that changed during Trump's first administration was the Fair Credit Reporting Act was amended to make security freezes, what we call credit freezes, free. Mm-hmm. There was a time when you actually had to pay to freeze and unfreeze your credit reports. And it was by state. And so, for example, in Georgia, where I live, it was $3 to freeze, $3 to unfreeze. Mm-hmm. Well, now that's all gone because security freezes are free nationwide, thanks to federal law. And you have the right to freeze your credit report. A security lock is different, meaning that it's not subject to the same requirements under federal law. It essentially does the same thing, Tommy. It prevents unauthorized parties from accessing your credit report until you choose to allow them to access it. But there is some differences in terms of which are regulated under federal law versus which are not. Although, from a practical sense, the lock and the freeze appear to do the same thing, which is to prevent people that you don't want looking at your credit reports from getting access to your credit reports. And by the way, you can do this on an app. This is, you know, people always complain about, oh, this is so complicated. And mm-hmm. No, you can do it on an app, meaning that you punch a button, you get your face recognition, and you can slide a little toggle to unfreeze or freeze a credit report or lock or unlock a credit report. So it's actually become very, very easy to do these types of things. And that is actually like the Fort Knox of credit report protection, right? Fraud alerts, credit monitoring, they all tell you, fraud alerts tell you after something bad has happened. It's almost like coming up to someone saying, hey, sir, you just got into an accident. It was like, gee, thanks for telling me what I already know. The security freeze is like putting your credit report in Fort Knox. Mm-hmm. No one can get access to it until you choose to let them have access to it. I love the security freeze.
And how does one freeze their security freeze their credit or whatever we're talking about here? What's
you have to go to all three credit bureaus independently: Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Their websites. You could even Google, you know, how do I freeze my Experian credit report? And there's actually a security freeze page mm-hmm. On all the credit bureaus' websites. Mm-hmm. Where you can go and set up your security freeze, essentially take your credit report out of circulation, and no lender with that you don't have a relationship with can get access to it until you choose to call it thawing. So instead of freezing it, you're thawing it. You thaw your credit report, you put it back into circulation, let your lender or prospective lender pull it because you're applying for something. Once you get whatever loan it is you want, then you just refreeze it.
So if you don't, once you freeze it, if you're not applying for any credit other than using a credit card, and that brings me to the next question here that came up via text. Somebody's contemplating a $5,000 purchase. Would it be better if they put it on a credit card for their credit score or paid cash? Does it matter?
Here's what I would do. I would try to maximize your, purchase. And so if you have the financial capability of just stroking a check mm-hmm. and paying for whatever it is that you're going to pay for, then that's fine. But here's what I would do if I were in that person's position. I would pick whatever credit card has the rewards program that mm-hmm. I like the best. I would pay for it using, unless they want to nail me with like a 3 or 4% upcharge right. to pay for the credit card fee. If they're going to try to do that, write a check and move on with your life. But if they're not going to nail me for the 3 or 4% credit card swipe fee, I would put it on whatever rewards card I like them at, whatever miles or points with cash back, whatever rewards card is your favorite. Put it on that card. Once the transaction clears, which will take, I don't know, maybe a day or so, go online and then use that $5,000 that you were going to use to write the check, pay off that charge. And then it's never going to show up on a credit report because it's never going to show up on your statement but you're still going to earn the rewards points for the transaction.
Back to the ethical hack.
Not only is it the ethical hack, but you also get whatever cash back that you would have gotten had you left it on your statement without paying it.
All right, somebody wants to know how many days late does it matter on a credit card payment where it counts against you, or I guess it would get to your credit report, if I'm using the right term?
Yep, so there's two answers to the question. Number one, if your bill is due on the 15th and you pay it on the 16th, you're late, which means they're going to hit you with a late fee. Mm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And since you didn't pay off your balance, they're going to hit you with interest. So that doesn't have anything to do with credit reporting. For credit reporting, the reason I'm saying this, Tommy, is I don't want people to think, oh, I've got a 30-day grace period to pay my bill. No, the due date is the due date. Don't screw around with the due date. It's not a suggestion. For credit reporting, however, you get a 30-day grace period.
It's not a suggestion. That's what you're saying?
It's not a suggestion.
That's why they say due date. They don't say it would be nice if you paid by this date. They say pay by this date. Due date. Go ahead.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. And for credit reporting, which I think that's what your caller or the texter was asking about, you have a 30-day grace period for the first month. So if your bill is due on the 15th, unless if you pay it before the 15th of the following month, even though you're still delinquent and you're going to get hit with a late fee, they can't report it to the credit bureaus. You have to be at least 30 days late for anybody. There's no way to report someone 1 to 29 days late to the credit bureau. That doesn't exist.
But can you do that every month or not? I know you're not encouraging people to do this.
I'm not encouraging people to do this because that's silly.
You get in a hole.
But from a credit reporting perspective, you'll be fine, but you're going to get brutalized with late fees, and eventually the card issuer is going to close your card because you're habitually late month after month after month, even though it's never going to hit your credit report.
Didn't they used to have something? I don't know if it became illegal under Trump 1.0 or not, but I thought there was something where if you were late and late and late, they could demand the entire balance due immediately or not? Am I making it up?
I don't know that they can call full amount due. I know that there's certain scenarios under mortgages that if you default, they can call the amount due. Mm. I'm not sure that that's something. If you default, then you don't have payment terms any longer on your credit card bill. For example, let's say you owed $5,000 on your credit card bill, and usually your minimum payment is about 3%, give or take, of the balance. And so in that scenario, you'd be paying about $150 a month as your minimum payment. So those are called your payment terms, okay? And those are the terms that you have. Every month you make that payment, you're accruing interest and whatnot. But if you go into default, meaning that you're not making payments at all and you've gone delinquent, the card's been closed, you don't have those $150 a month terms any longer. You have proven to the card issuer that those won't work, that you're not worthy of those terms. And so they're going to want the full amount. You can still try to settle with them for less than the full amount, but you don't have the ability to say, oh, I'm just going to keep, I promise I'll go back to paying you $150 a month now. No, that ship has sailed. So that may be what you're thinking of.
Let me give you three questions. One, and we'll answer them when we come back. Just ended my chapter 13. What happens next? Somebody else says, I have no debt, pay my credit card off in full every month, have never paid a penny of interest on my card in over 30 years. Put my homeowner's insurance on my card last year, paid it full within a few days of it being posted. My score went down 15 points, took 8 months to rebound. Why? And then somebody else wants to know, Why is it that when you pay your mortgage off but still have credit cards, your credit score goes down? John will answer when we come back. The fastest hour in radio. John Alzheimer, our guest. He's a credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. 260-1870. If you get your question in quick, we might be able to get it answered. 941 traffic now, WWL. Quickly back to John Alzheimer. I'm Tommy Tucker here on WWL. He's a credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. I hit you with three questions before we went to the break. Which one you want to start with?
How about the one about the insurance premium and the score going down 15 points?
All right, so they paid off. It didn't even get on the statement, I don't think. They put their homeowner's insurance on the card. The credit score went down, took 7 months to recover. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if that, and you actually kind of answered the question for me. If the premium was put on the card, but the balance was paid before the statement was generated, then that insurance payment on the credit card has nothing to do with why the score went down 15 points.
Well, let me read it exactly. He says it before it posted, so I would presume that's before it appeared on the statement, right?
That's how I would read that mm-hmm. As well, Tommy, because that's usually the term that people use, posting. Mm-hmm. So the score went down for some reason, having nothing to do with making that insurance payment or whatever, paying the premium on the credit card, because it never was posted, never showed up on the credit report. So obviously I don't know what else changed on the credit report, but it had nothing to do with that payment.
So somebody else wants to know about, I just finished Chapter 13, what happens next?
Yeah, so number one, congratulations, and that may sound funny, but going through a Chapter 13 and quote-unquote finishing it takes years. It's not something that happens overnight. And so congratulations for your dedication to paying back some of what you actually owe versus filing for Chapter 7 where your creditors get kind of stiffed. So if Chapter 7 takes many years, your credit score has probably improved considerably since you filed, because that's unless you missed payments in the interim while you were making your payments through your Chapter 13 trustee. It's very, very likely that your score is probably very respectable already, and you're probably already getting credit offers because most of the time, and there's been studies that have proven this, Tommy, that when people file bankruptcy, most people file bankruptcy for some reason other than being deadbeats,
mm-hmm.
a failed business venture, loss of job,
medical,
long-term
right?
illness,
yep.
a bad divorce, which I guess they're all bad. But most people, it's not, people just equate bankruptcy with deadbeat, which is nothing could be further from the truth.
Mine
and
was
so,
pretty bad.
Lenders
I'll tell
are
you
not
that,
stupid. Lenders know this, right? Mm-hmm. And so if someone has gone through a Chapter 13, which means they've bent over backwards to pay some of what they owe back, that's actually probably not a bad credit risk. So if you need credit, jump back into the credit market. You may not get the best deals ever, but you're going to definitely get approved. And good luck this time around.
So going back to the person with the insurance on their credit card didn't post, et cetera, they would want to mm-hmm. pull their credit report to see what went wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the importance of pulling the credit report, is that you get to see what's on it and what's not on it. And if the payment was made before that charge posted, then and you pay in full every month, then the balance on that credit card should again be zero. If it's something greater than zero, then obviously the payment wasn't processed in time and that charge was posted. And even something minor, like a few thousand dollars of a charge, especially on a credit card that's got a lower credit limit, like maybe a $5,000 or a $10,000 credit limit, that could be the answer to the question as to why did my score go down, albeit pretty modest. Like 15 points isn't what I would call a catastrophic change in score.
So when it comes to, I'm getting a lot of questions about mortgages and credit scores and paying it off, yet still having credit cards. If you pay your mortgage off, generally speaking, what about that?
Yeah, so I think that was one of the questions before we went to the break. That's actually one of the more maddening aspects of credit scoring systems, is that you're actually rewarded for having installment debt. An installment obviously is fixed payment for a fixed period of time, like auto loan, student loan, mortgage, boat loan, motorcycle loan, personal loan. Mm. And credit scoring systems love to see people properly managing installment debts. And if you pay off all of your installment debts, or even one of your large installment debts, like a mortgage, then obviously you're not paying that any longer. And it's not uncommon. And even FICO has literature on their website about this, because they get this question so often. They've written articles about it on their website. that there is a possibility that your score is going to go down after you pay off a large installment debt. Now, look, Tommy, we're not talking about the difference between FICO 750 and FICO 650. Mm-hmm. We're talking, again, a modest decrease in the score, which generally can easily be subsidized by doing something like paying down or paying off one of your credit cards.
Thank you, John. It is the fastest hour in radio. It always goes by too quickly. If somebody wants to get their credit report, how do they do it?
annualcreditreport.com. If you end up on a website where they're asking you for a credit card, you're at the wrong place. This is free. Don't pay a dime for your credit reports any longer.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always. Have a good day in Georgia.
You too, sir. Thank you.
All right, John Alzheimer, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax, 953. We'll take a break, find out what Newell's got planned when we come back on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.